Can people hear me?
We are able to hear you.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. The Gemara has on the first daf from Maseches Tainis a comment on the Pasuk from Kriya Shema La'ovdo b'chol levavchem. Usually Avodah means Hakravas Hakrabonis. That's not done in the heart. So the Gemara understands Avodah Shebalev is referring to Tefillah. So the Rambam counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs that are obligatory min haTorah. One is obligated to daven once a day, every day. The Chumash, the Torah doesn't tell us how often you have to daven. So the Rambam understood that it's once a day, every day. The Stipler writes in his Sefer, where did the Rambam get that from? That if you have a pasuk in the Chumash and you're not sure how often you have to fulfill a mitzvah, that once a day, every day is enough. So he suggests that maybe it's based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says that the Kohanim are mechuyev to duchen upon request. If we ask them to please, we scream out Kohanim, we ask them, we want a bracha. So they're obligated to duchen once a day, every day. Even if you request a second time, they're not mechuyev to duchen a second time. The Mishnah says that Kohanim duchen in Shachris and in Musaf, and in the Ila, three times on Yom Kippur. That's in Broyers. They follow what it says in the Mishnah. They duchen on Yom Kippur three times. Shachris, Musaf, and Nila, they duchen is in the middle of the night. That in other communities in Europe, they didn't duchen at night. Because the Mishnah says in Tainus, you don't duchen at night. So in Frankfurt, they understood you don't duchen at night because there's no Chazor Sashatz for Ma'ariv. That's why. But if you're saying Chazor Sashatz for Nila, even though it's nighttime, you can't duchen. And the other Gdolim held no, that the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, it says in Chumash Dvarim, that the Kohanim were chosen, the Sharsa or Levaruch B'Shmo. The Sharsa means to be Makro Kadmanis, or Levaruch B'Shmo means to Duchen. So the two are mentioned, one next to the other, in the Pasuk, that's called the Hekish. So just like the Gemara says, when it gets to standing, just like Avodas HaKarbonah has to be done in a standing position. If the Kohen will be sitting in the Azara, there's a din, any Shiva Bazara, not allowed to sit in the Azara. But that's a din l'chatchila. No one's allowed to sit in the Azara except for the Melech from the Malchit Beis David. He's allowed to sit. But they wouldn't possibly the Evid, so the Mishnah has no. The din is at Lamed L'Shores. You have to stand to be Makro Karbonah, and if you're Makro Karbonah in the sitting position, it's possible. So that's how the Gemara establishes that the Kohanim have to stand by Niduchen, because the Pasuk has the two, one next to the other. The Sharsa, Kibom Bachar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim, the Sharsa, the Baruch Bishmai, that they should do the Hakrovas HaKarbonis, and they should Duchen. So just like Hakrovas HaKarbonis has to be Ba'amida, so the Duchening has to be Ba'amida. How do you know that the Tzibur has to stand? Because it has to be Panim Keneged Panim. So since the Kohanim have to stand, so the Tzibur has to stand also. Otherwise, there'll be a lack upon him, can I get upon him? So many Achrayim say, most of the Achrayim say, that just like HaKrabos HaKarbonos has to be done by Yom, so the Duchening has to be done by Yom. You can't Duchen Balayla, even if there wouldn't be a Chazoros HaShatz, Ne'ila. You're going to finish Ne'ila, it's going to be in the middle of the night. So in most communities in Europe, they didn't Duchen Balayla. And in Frankfurt, that's where the Maharil quotes this. In Frankfurt, they had this strange practice that they duchen balayla. So the Maharil defends the practice, and he says, there never was such a din, that by HaKrovas HaKarbonos, there is no such din, that you can't be Makro Karbonos balayla. Certain avodas can't be done balayla. The Dalar avodas Adam, Shchita Kabbalah Halocha Zrika, the Dalar avodas Adam. So Avodas Adam may not be done, it can't do Balayla, it'll be possible. Akorda Mincha also has Dalar Avodas parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam. So you can't do the Dalar Avodas of the Mincha Balayla, but other Avodas can be done Balayla. Haktar Seymurim is done Balayla, Nisach HaYayin can be done Balayla. Only Dalar Avodas Adam, and the four Avodas and the Mincha that are parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam can't be done Balayla. So even if you say that there is a Hekesh between the Sharsa and the Baruch Bishmai, Kibom Bachar Hashem. Hashem chose the Kohanim L'Sharsai, L'Baruch B'Shmat, to be Makro Karbonis and to Duchen. You can do a HaKrovas Karbonis Balayla. Duchening is compared to HaKrovas Karbonis, but not to the Dalar Avodas Adam. That's how the Maharil defends the Minig in Frankfurt. So, The Gemara says that the fact that the Kohanim Duchen, Shachris, and Musaf, and Ne'ilah, this is only Midrabbonim. In our Torah, they're not Mechleif to Duchen a second time in the same day, whether it's the same minyan or a different minyan. Once they Duchen once a day, they're not Mechleif anymore. The Mechleif to Duchen, Shachris, and Musaf, and Mincha, that's Midrabbonim. So that's what the stipula says, just like the Gemara says, apparently it's a svara. It doesn't say in the Chumash how often they have to duchen. Upon request, the Mechleif to duchen. It doesn't say how often. So the Gemara understands once a day, every day. So the same is true regarding davening. The Torah doesn't say how often you have to daven. The Gemara has an expression, halavai she'is pa'alodim kolor yom kula, but you're not Mechleif to. So that's why the Rambam passes, you're Mechleif to daven once a day, every day. The Gemara says, tefillah is only with the Rabbanon. So the Rambam understood that means the text of the tefillah is only with the Rabbanon, the particular text. And the fact that we daven 3 times a day, or 4 times a day when you say Musaf, or 5 times a day when you say Nila, so that's Midrabbanan. But the obligation to daven once a day, every day, that's Minatur. So Moshe Feinstein asks Akasha in his Chuvis that the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, we derive from Psukim and the Chumash that there's a specific Seder, how to present the davening. The particular Nusach is only Midrabbanan. But the framework is a din minat Torah. The Gemara learns out from the Tfilos of Moshe Rabbeinu that appear in the Chumash. First, you have to, Derech Eretz dictates that you have to introduce your Tfilah with Shevach and you have to conclude the Tfilah with Hoidoya, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the kindness that He gave us in the past. But the essence of the davening is really the middle part, the Bakosha Sarochim. So Moshe Feinstein asks Akasha, if one is obligated to daven minat Torah once a day, every day, so what do you do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? We leave out all the brachas and tzoyos. So in the middle you just have, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's Mach Mosh Matan, Scholet Tipman, Shiyam Azikoran has a Shabbos has a, and so on. But there are no Bakoshet Sarochem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that was one Yotze, the obligation to daven once a day, every day. So Moshe Feinstein points out that if you look in the Nusach HaTfilah for Shabbos and Yom Tov, the middle bracha is the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So the concluding paragraph in the middle bracha has a bakosha. It's not a gashmistik bakosha. We're not asking for refuah shleimah, for parnasa to protect us from our enemies. We're not asking for those kind of things. We're asking l'keinu k'evaseinu v'itzed v'mechaseinu. Please accept our observance of Shabbos. Kavsheinu v'mitzvah secha, sanctify us. Secha k'em so secha v'tar l'beinu l'ovdecha b'yemes. That's Bakoshes Sarochim. Their Ruchnius Dikat Sarochim. And the same is true on Rosh Hashanah when we daven Musaf. We have 3 brachas in the middle. We have the Malchus, Lachmanus, and Shofus. And each one of the 3 brachas, the concluding paragraph, has the Bakoshes Sarochim. In Malchus, the concluding paragraph begins, Alkeinu Kevaseinu, Melocha Kol Ha'olam Kula B'chvedech, Menase Ha'kol Ha'oretz B'karecha. That's a Bakoshes. It's a Ruchnius Dikat Bakoshes. And Zechreinus, the concluding paragraph begins, Alkeinu Kevaseinu, Zechreinu Zikaran Toib Lofanecho, Ufaktein Lofkudis Yeshua Verachim Mishmesh Mekedim. That's also Bakosha Sarochim. The same is true regarding Shofus, Alkeinu Kevaseinu. Kab Shofu Godel Chevaseinu, Sunday Slukabdez Godel Yerosein. It's a different kind of Bakosha. So that's why Moshe says that one is Yotze, the Chi of Tfila Daraisa, because you have all the 3 parts. You start with Shevach, you end off with Haidoya. In the middle, you don't have the same bakoshas that you have on the weekdays. You have special bakoshas for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and on Rosh Hashanah you have special bakoshas. The Ruchni is digger bakoshas. Ruchni is digger bakoshas. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the framework of each one of these 3 brachas, Malchus, Ven, and Shofes, is the same. And what he said was the following. The Rambam lists off 13 Ikari Hamun, the Rambam and the Haknamit, the Pirush and Mishnayos and Perek Chelek, lists off the 13 Ikari Hamun. Rabbi Yosef Alba, who came after the Rambam, wrote a Sefer HaIkarim. So he says that basically it boils down to 3 Ikarim. The Rambam didn't have to make it into 13. Basically it's 3. And the 3 are Malchus, Achronos, and Shofers. Rosh Hashanah, we say, Hayom HaRasalam, today is the birthday of the world. What do you mean, the birthday? It took 6 days. There was Sheshis Mei Breshis. So which day is Rosh Hashanah? So our tradition has it that it says Nachumish Adam Rishon was created on Friday, on the sixth day of the Sheshes May Bereshis. Everything before Adam Rishon is considered prehistoric because there was nobody around at that time. Adam Rishon wasn't created yet. So the history of the world begins, what you say today is the birthday of the world, historically, means the Rosh Echad B'Tishrei was when Adam Rishon was created. That's what we say in Adon Olam, the first line. Before he created the whole world, he was in control of everything. There was nothing there to be in control of. But then we say, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world, created Adam Rishon, then he's considered a Melech. The theme of Malchus, the idea of Malchus only makes sense, a Melech B'Layom. You have to have a nation. You have to have someone to be the Melech over. You have to have a human being. So only after Adam Rishon was created, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Melech. So that's what we say, Hayom HaRisolam, that Echad B'Tishrei was the sixth day of Sheshes Megreshes. That's what we celebrate every year. One of the ten kavanas of Rav Sadia Gaon writes in a siddur that there are ten kavanas that you're supposed to have when you listen to the Kiyur Shofar. So one of the ten kavanas is that when they coronate a new king, when they appoint a new king, they bless the trumpets. So on Rosh Hashanah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, when he became a melech, Azai Melech Shemonika, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became the Melech on Rosh Hashanah when Adam Rishon was there. So every year on Rosh Hashanah we are Mekabel HaMachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Iker of Kabbalah HaMachos Shemayim, a lot of times when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Gemara said you should be Marech with the word Echad, you should have in mind all the Kavanas. When you say the Ches of Echad, have in mind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over the seven Rekiyim and this world. 7 and 1 is 8, and then when you say the Dalad or the Echad, you have in mind to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the Dalad Ruchas, north, east, southwest. So they quote in the name of Rabbi Sol Salanter that most people are usually so busy having all the Kavanas of the Zion Rikiyim and the rest of the world, the north, east, southwest, they leave out the main aspect of Kabbalah, Samach Shemayim, Kabbalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech over yourself. That's the main thing. Forget about the Zion Rikiyim. Forget about the north, east, southwest. What about over me? So that's the main idea of Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. That's one of the Kavanas that Rav Sadia Gaon writes that you should have when they blow Shofar. Another important Kavana which Rav Sadia Gaon does not write, but this appears in the Sfasemis and his Droshes for Rosh Hashanah, that the Chumash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. How did that happen? So the Pasuk says, Vayipach Biapav Nishmas Chaim, Vayihi Ha'adam LeNefesh Chaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the Yapot, he blew into his nostrils air, and that's how Adam Rishon became alive. So when we blow Shofar, that's reminiscent of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the Yipach B'Yapov Nishmas Chaim. And the Zohar has a comment on that line, that the Sfasem is many, Chaim Volozhin quotes it, Manda Nofach, someone who blows, blowing into a tube, let's say, to make glass bottles, or he blowing into someone. So manda nafach, he delay nafach. He blow from inside, from your lungs, from the inside your kishkas. So a man was created b'tzelem alekim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam Rishon. So he blew into him. He made him into tzelem alekim. So that's an important kavana to have. Also, we should realize chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem. All human beings have tzelem alekim. Tzelem alekim is a very significant concept. The Gemara in Psachim and Daf Nun Dalet of Menalev speaks about the Shiva Dvarim, Shenivru Kadim Shenivru Ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created seven things before He created the rest of the world. What does that mean? It's like we say, Soif Ma'aseh Me'machshava Tchilo. You have in mind that you want to, let's say a person wants to build a house. So when you build a house, you don't start building above the ground. First, you have to make foundation under the ground. Everybody wants to build a house. No. In order to build a house, you have to build the stronger the foundation is, so the stronger the house will be. So here also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before He created the world, He created these seven things. The Gemara lists off all the seven things. that will enable the world to function the way he wants it to be. So some of several of the seven things are very important. One of them is Shmoy Shal Moshiach. The Gemara lists off the seven. In Psachim Nun Da'amon is Shmoy Shal Moshiach. What does that mean? I think what it means is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Yesh Me'ayin, that was a tremendous ness to create Yesh Me'ayin, tremendous ness. And we usually have a klal, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't change Teva, he doesn't make Nisim unnecessarily. Like the Rishonim point out, the Rambam says when the Chashmonaim took over the Beis HaMikdash and they only found one little container of oil, so it took 4 days to travel from Yerushalayim to the location where they used to get Shemen Zayis Zoch, and 4 days to come back. So the Mefarshim say, how did the Rambam know that it took 4 days? Because the miracle of the Pach HaShemen was that it burned for 8 days. Why was it necessary to burn for 8 days? Because it took 8 days till they got the Shemen Zayis Zoch, the new Shemen Tor. It took 4 days to travel there, 4 days to come back. If they would have only taken 2 days, so the Pach HaShemen wouldn't have to burn for 8 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only does Nisim when they're necessary. So the Ribbono Shel Olam created a whole gigantic world, and it looks like it's a total waste. Everybody's killing everybody else. There are wars, and the whole world is destroying itself. The whole world is about to collapse. Everything is collapsing. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam accomplish by creating this world? Yesh Me'ayin. It's a fantasticness. So the answer is we believe in Imos HaMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the world in such a way that it will lead ultimately to the days of Mashiach, when all of the world, that's the theme of Malchus, when all the world will recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea of creating the seven things before the Bias HaOlam, that's like we say, Sof Maisa B'Machshava Tchilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought in advance, he wants to have a world with Malchus Shamayim, so he had to give Bechira Chavshist and so on, and he had to create a world that he should be able to lead up to such a thing. That's every so often the Midrashim will have an expression. The Gemara has sometimes in the Midrashim, Betchila Adam Machshav, originally Ribbono Shel Olam thought he's going to do like this, or Lebesov, he did like that. So in the Bir HaGroa Mishlei, which was written by one of the Talmidim of the Groa, Groa himself only wrote in the Bir HaGroa Shulchan Aruch, that he wrote himself, and on Kabbalah he wrote. But everything else on Tanakh, everything was written by the Talmidim. So they quote in the name of the Groa, Levi Yodua, that every time the Gemara has such an expression, Mitchila Adam Machshav, Lebesov, Osa Kach Lekach, doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. Tchilo Adam Machshava was, what was the tachlis, what was the goal? And that's the mashal that they quote from the Groa. Let's say a person wants to build a house. So first he digs deep under the ground to make a foundation in order to build the house. So someone is watching and says, what are you digging? Why don't you just build the house already? No. He has to build the foundation. He has to dig in the ground to make a foundation in order that the house should be able to hold. So the same thing over here. Mitchilo Adam Machshava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a world with the Imos HaMashiach. So he had to create a world the way it is now, and it's going to lead to Imos HaMashiach. So that's an Iker et Amunah. We believe in a Mashiach. This is one of the things that was Kodem Briyas HaOlam. Otherwise, it will turn out that the whole creation of the world was a waste. It's interesting. Adam Rishon, according to the Medrash, according to the Pirkei de Rav Lezer, Adam Rishon was created on that Friday, on the sixth day of Sheshes Mebreshes. He was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding the mitzvahs. He wasn't yet given seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. He was only given six. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara. Adam Rishon was only given six because he had to be a vegetarian. He had no heter to eat flesh at all. So he wasn't yet given the prohibition of Eiv Melachai. So that's why we refer to the mitzvahs as the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, because after the Mabul, Noach was permitted to eat meat, and then he was told not to eat Eiv Melachai. Originally, in days of Adam Rishon, there were only six of the mitzvahs. So on the same day he was created, he was by Tzava Shem Alekim Al Ha'odam. He was told all the Ikori Hamunah that he has to know, and he was told the tzivui of the Sheish Mitzvahs and the Hoirah Shoah not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So there's a famous Ramban in the beginning of Chulin, where the Ramban develops the whole idea that the Pasuk says in Chumash, in Parashas Mishpatim, Acherab lahatas. You follow the, when there's a split vote in Bezdin, let's say there's a case of din in the Foshes, and 13 Dayanim say that it's Chai Misa, 10 say that it's Butter. So the Torah says Acherab lahatas. So you have a din Torah and din Imamanis, and it's a split vote. 2 Dayanim say Reuben has to pay Shimon $1,000, and the 3rd Dayan said that he's Potter. So you go 2-1, so the 2 Dayanim win. So that's Acherab lahatas. But also included in that Pasuk Acherab lahatas is, if you don't know whether certain food is kosher or not, and the roiv is that it's kosher, the likelihood and the probability is that it's kosher. So you follow the roiv to pass from that it's mutter, or you have, let's say, a shadow from shatnas, or you have a shadow, am I allowed to eat this food? Am I allowed to eat this vegetable? Maybe it has bugs in it, maybe it's full of taloim. So if you have, the probability is that it has no taloim, so you can rely on the roiv, even though it's not about those. So the Ramban says, but if you have a meal tamotzi, then you will have to be boidik med the Rabbanan, not in a Torah, but med the Rabbanan. So that's what the Ramban quotes a medrash, a very fascinating medrash, that Adam Arishan, the day he was created on Yom HaShishi, on Erev Shabbos, so he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that was only Hayru Asho. If he would have waited, if he would have had self-control, if he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, would have been permissible for him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't have self-control, and he and Chava, so they both ate, Chava ate, and then she gave to Adam Rishon, they both ate from the Eitz Hadas. So the Medrash, the Ramban calls the Medrash as an expression, we should really dig up Adam Rishon from his grave, he's buried in Moris HaMachpelah. Mi gala ofa me'enecho Adam Rishon, we should dig him up and take the sand and the dust off of his eyes, and let him open up his eyes and look at the Jewish people. That the Jewish people observe the mitzvahs, we have self-control. If the wife becomes a nidah, so you wait a week and a half, you wait 2 weeks till she's able to go to the mikveh. And when the Jewish people plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael, or even a chutzlah, so they have to wait 3 years. Even if pears grow within the first 3 years, everything is holy and not allowed to eat it. And then it says, when we shech the behema, you do a proper shechita, we don't eat right away. We first bodek the lungs to see if there are any sirchas on the lungs. So the Ramban raises a question, why does the Medrash only say that we boidik the lungs to make sure there are no sirchas? There are 77 old different treifas. So what about the other 69 treifas? How come we're only boidik? It'll take hours, it'll take forever to check for all the 70 treifas. How come we're only worried about sirchas on the reya? So that's what the Ramban says. It's only a din mid the Rabbanan, and the din mid the Rabbanan is whenever you have a mir tamotzi, it's a certain percentage. That's a shayla we discussed on different occasions. What percentage is it near Tamatza? So Rav Soloveitchik would always quote the Mishkan as Yankiv. The Darkin Shuba, the Mikach, only quotes the Mishkan as Yankiv. That is 10% likelihood and above. That's called near Tamatza. Then there's a Chavis Bedikim and Rabbanim. Let's say there's a 10% likelihood that by eating this amount, it depends how much vegetables you're eating. If you eat 5 portions of vegetables as a stronger likelihood that you'll be swallowing a bug. If you eat a small portion of vegetables, there's less of a likelihood that you'll be swallowing a bug. So whenever there's a mir tamatz, whenever there's a 10% chance that you'll be eating a bug, then midir abanan, you have to be bodik to make sure you're not eating a bug. Or let's say you buy a suit that you have to check for shatnas. So you have to call the shatnas checker and ask him, I bought this suit, this make, and it's very expensive or less expensive. So the more expensive it is, so a lot of times the more likelihood there is that it'll going to have shatnas. Less expensive, probably won't have shatnas. So you have to ask him, what's the if he knows, what's the percentage likelihood that there will be shatnas? If it's a mir tamatzah, then yechuyev midir rabbanan to be boidik. It's a nice idea, always to be boidik, to give a little business to the shatnas man. Okay, they don't make so much money. It takes them a lot of time. They don't make so much money. But strictly speaking, the din only applies when you have self-control is an important thing. The Mishnah has in Pirkei Avos says the gibor, a kavush es hitzro. The real gibor, Moshe Baruch Hu loy chedir. A gibor who's Moshe Baruch Hu has self-control. He's even a greater gibor than a loy chedir. I remember once Professor Fried, who used to teach, I think he may have retired, but he used to teach psychology at Stern College, was telling us that he's a psychologist. So he said that he has an acquaintance who's a psychologist, and he had little children. So they had a birthday party for the child who was 6 years old or something like that. So he had all the friends were there. They were celebrating together. So this psychologist decided to test them to see how much self-control they have. So he took each child and he put him in a room and he showed him a clock that rolled it up to be able to read time. And he had a plate full of cookies. And he told them if you wait half an hour or 45 minutes before you eat any cookies, then we're going to give you a whole bag full of cookies. But if you're going to eat the cookies before the half hour, then you don't get the award. So, and he was videoing them. It's probably against the law to do that without the permission of the parents, but that's what the psychologist did. This was years, years ago. He was videoing the children. So some of the children, the minute the father of the birthday boy walked out of the room, some of them right away ate the cookie. Some of them were waiting 10 minutes, then they ate the cookie. Some waited 20 minutes, then they ate the cookie. And some of them had self-control because they realized if you don't eat the cookie for half an hour, then you're going to get a whole bag full of cookies, so it's going to be rewarded. So later on, this psychologist was following his son's friends as they went through school and as they went through college and as they got married and as they got jobs. It turned out that those who had self-control and they didn't eat the cookie for the whole half an hour, they did better in school, and they did better in shidduchim, and they did better in parnasa. They got better jobs. Self-control is a key to success in life in general. So that's what the Medrash says. The Marishim didn't have self-control. If he would have waited till Friday night, Liel Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. It's interesting. There's a Vayberish minig that a woman who's pregnant bites off the pitum from the Esrig after Sukkos is over. Kozman Sukkos or the Esrig is hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it. So the pregnant woman waits till after Sukkos is over, then she bites off the Esrig, the pitum. So Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch tells you where to find the Nusach HaTfilah that the Mulberry should say when she bites off the pitum. So the tefillah, it's printed in the Mater Ephraim. They have it in a footnote there. Mater Ephraim has all the dinim and menhagim for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and also a little bit for Sukkah. So they have that the Mulberry says, all of the women were cursed because Chava didn't have self-control. She couldn't wait till Lel Shabbos, the Ramban said. If she would have waited till Lel Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And she was cursed, she was punished. Be'etziv tell the banim that they have pain when they go into labor and childbirth, everything is full of pain. But Ribbono shel Olam, I waited till Sukkos was over. And if I would have been there in Gan Eden, I would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. Vaharai, I waited till the Yontem is over to bite off the pitum, so I shouldn't be punished with the oinish that Chava got. I shouldn't have be'etziv tell the banim. I shouldn't have pain. So this Rebbe Kiveger is Mitzayim, where to find a tefillah, which Sefer has a tefillah. Interesting. It's a vibration minig, but Rebbe Kiveger tells you where to find the tefillah. So these are things that are important. That's what I think the Malbim has that on Parshas Bereishis. Why does the Chumash write the story of the original sin? According to the Catholics, the original sin plays a major role in all of mankind. Everybody's born with a taint of sin because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. But we assume, when I was born, I was Tahar. I had no sin. And in fact, in the Techeche that we just read on Parshas Kisavu Shabbos, we say, Baruch Atah V'Vayecha, Baruch Atah V'Seisecha. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Bavim Metzia, but Vayacha means when you were born into the world. It says Secha means when you go out of the world, when you pass away. Just like when you were born, you were born Belichet. So too, when you die, your whole lifetime, that's the Brocha. You shouldn't sin, and when you die, you should be Belichet like when you were born. So this idea of self-control is the reason why the story of the Eitz Hadas was written in Chumash. Even though it's not relevant to us, we were born belichet. All of us were born belichet. And Shem Shalom is not to be tahiri. But the story of the Eitz Hadas tells us what a typical chet is like. People have to have self-control. And if the wife is going to pester them, the chaverim are going to pressure them to do averis, they shouldn't give in to the pressure of society to violate the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, so the Gemara in Pesachim says all of the seven things that were created before the Bria Sa'olam, these are things that are crucial for the tachlis of the Bria. So one of the things is Shmo Shel Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the world in such a way that it should be meaningful, that He created a world. Otherwise, why in the world did He do such a nice nigla of creating Yesh Me'ayin if the world is just going to self-destruct, self-destroy? Then also what we mention in the Slichas, every so often we mention this in the Slichas, Tshuva was created, was one of the seven things that was instituted before Bria Sa'olam, because the Pasuk tells us, Adam and Tzadik Ba'aretz, Asher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechtor, it's impossible for a person ever to sin. So if there wouldn't be an institution of Tshuva, so the whole world would collapse. Everyone is going to do some little sin, and that would be the end of everybody. That would be the end, the whole Tachlis of the Bria would be thwarted. So that's why the institution of Tshuva was created before the Bria Sa'olam, in order that the world should be able to function. And then another one of the seven things that was before the Bria Sa'olam was the Beis HaMikdash. Because many Midrashim say the whole Tachlis of the Bria was that the Beis HaMikdash should be built. Our tradition has it that the Evan Shisir in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is called with that name. The Gemara Yuma says because Shemisham Nishtas Kov HaOlam, the rest of the world extended from the Evan Shisir. That was the center. The Beis HaMikdash with Evan Shisir is the center of everything in the Bria. The Gemara tells us that Eretz Yisrael Gevoy Mikol HaRatzos, Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest of the world. Because it says when the brothers of Yosef were shuttling back and forth between Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, so when they went from Eretz Canaan to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayirda acha Yosef asar, they were Yordim. When they went back from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan, so it says, Vayalu, Vayalu. This is called Aliyah, and this is called Yerida. So you see that Eretz Yisrael Gevoy Mikol HaRatzos. And then the Gemara points out also, the one last Perek in Kedushin, Gemara points out also that Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Ki Yipal Mincha Dovel HaMishpat Bein Dam L'Dam Bein Din L'Din Bein Negev L'Negev Dibi Ayriris B'Sharecha V'Kam Tovi Alisa Al HaMokkaim. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, if there's friction in the community because of HaMachlekes and Halacha, and they can't resolve it, each sheet they insist that they're right and the other one is wrong. So you have to ask the Bez Nagol, and whatever they paskin is binding on everybody. So it says, when you come to the Alisa Lavakim, you have to go up to Yerushalayim. So apparently Yerushalayim is higher than all the other locations in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a pillar, the whole Gemara. What do you mean? The Swiss Alps is not as high as Yerushalayim. It's higher than the mountains in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says Yerushalayim is not the highest location. The Gemara says, David HaMelech was planning to build, every time he was victorious in battle, he would take all the precious metal that he got, gold and silver and copper, and he would designate it for the purpose of building a Beis HaMikdash. And after amassing so much precious metal, then he wants to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the halacha says, L'shichna Sidrushu, Uvasu Shoma, L'shichna Sidrushu requires that the Rabbanim have to work on it to figure out where do you think the place is to build a Beis HaMikdash, and after you figure it out, then you have to consult a Navi. So David HaMelech figured it out, should be in the city Ein Etim. Ein Etim is the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael, apparently. It's higher than Yerushalayim, above sea level, but higher than Yerushalayim. And then, the din is the Sheikh Nasir should Rosh Alpi Navi. After the Rabbanim decide where they think you should build a Beis HaMikdash, then they have to consult a Navi. So David HaMelech consulted a Navi, he said wrong. The Pasuk says, a bank say, Fob Shachain, the Shekhinah will be sure not at the highest elevation above the head. It's nicer to build the Beis HaMikdash in a location that's high, but it shouldn't be the highest elevation. Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation. Ein Etim is higher. So what does the Gemara say that Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol HaRatz Yisrael? What does the Gemara say that Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol HaRatz Yisrael? It's not true. So the Baal HaMor in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof and Beis talks about this. He says, it doesn't mean highest elevation above sea level. The Gemara is talking about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and Sheshes made Bereshis, what was on top? We always visualize the North Pole is on top. There is up the North Pole, maybe the South Pole is on top. Maybe I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Maybe Scranton is on top. Maybe Montreal is on top. You can hold on top of whatever. It's a, the earth is a globe. You can hold on top of whatever you want. So the mind nafkamina, what was on top when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the globe, the nafkamina is for the purpose of the international dateline. So that's how the Balamor and another group of all the Rishonim talk about where is the international dateline. They all say the same pshat on that Gemara and Rosh Hashanah and Avchafim and Beis, that the earth is a globe. The Tanaim knew it's not flat, it's a globe. The globe has two hemispheres. So one hemisphere has Yerushalayim, the upper hemisphere where all of mankind began. Somehow we assume that everything began around the equator in Africa, somewhere over there. So all of civilization began somewhere in that upper hemisphere, where Yerushalayim was on top when the world was created. So the first place where that was here, all of time begins. Where's the international dateline? 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. That's Ruba the Ruba. That's what all the Rishonim say. The international dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. That's what it means. Eretzel Gevayim Mikol Harotzes and Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretzel. It does mean above sea level. It means what was held on top. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what was held on top? And Memela, where is the beginning of time? It's going to be, if that was on top, so the Shkia is going to be taking place in Manchuria, in 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Eben Shesia is all about. Shemisham Nishtas Kol Ha'olam Kol Eben Shesia Beis HaMikdash. That's the center of the whole globe. And all of the rest of the world was an extension of the Eben Shesia. So that's why the Gemara says the Makam of the Beis HaMikdash is one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned to create before Bria Sa'olam, because the whole Taklis of the Bria. That's how the Sifri Kabbalah say, what, why did the Baruch Shalom create the world? What motivated him to create the world? They say, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyosla Dir B'Tachtonim. He wanted to have the Beis HaMikdash. It is the Beis Hashem. So that's these are the things that were created before Bria Sa'olam. It's interesting, in the Shir Shal Yom, for Thursday, we mentioned Tikkun V'Chodesh Shofar B'Kes Al Yom Chageinu, and the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation in the word Kesa. That's not the Poshim Shan. B'Kesa is Meloshin Kisui, that something is Mechutze. Ezu Chag Shachodesh Miskasabel, the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is hidden, because Rosh Hashanah takes over. You forgot already that it's also Rosh Chodesh. Both Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, you bring a Musfei. Even when Rosh Hashanah Chalias Bechol, you say Es Musfei Yom Azikaren Hazeh. You don't mention Latin Lashem Lakenu. Es Azikaren Hazeh. The Gemara says Azikaren Echad Alu Lakan Lakan. You don't mention Latin Lashem Lakenu. Es Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh. Just say Yom Azikaren Hazeh. So the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is hidden. But some Svarim write that a lot of other things are also hidden, because the Gemara says in the second parak in Chagiga that we're not permitted to investigate, to try to figure out anything about the Big Bang, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Pasuk says in Chumash, Kishal no le'amim rishanim shehayu lefanecha le'maniyam she'asa Hashem odam al ho'etz le'mekzeh shamayim ve'mekzeh shamayim. The Gemara says, Kishal, no, you have a right to investigate things about the world from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon. Anything that happened before Adam Rishon, you're not allowed to think into, not permitted to delve into Malafon and Malayachar. What was there before Adam Rishon was created? What's going to be after the whole world will disappear, will collapse? That's one of the things you're not supposed to think about the Big Bang. So the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a season of the year, that the Gemara comments that two psukim, and the Medrash has this, the Gemara doesn't have this, Medrash has this, that two psukim kahelas. One pasuk says, Kvod Elokim Hestadover, it's the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we keep things a secret. And then there's another pasuk, Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. It's the honor of the king that you investigate all the things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only became the king after he created Adam Rishon. That's what we mentioned from the first line in Adon Olam. The Marishim was created as I Melech Shemayin Ikra. He became a Melech. Was a Melech Baloyam. So the first 5 days of the Sheshes May Bereshis, you're not supposed to delve into. That's supposed to be Mechusa. Only starting from the day that Adam Marishim was created, we are allowed and we are encouraged to try to investigate, try to find out all the secrets of the world, find out all the secrets of the Torah. This is Kishal Nadi Amim Shanim Shahim Adam Al Haaretz. You're permitted and encouraged to investigate and to darshan and to research all the things from the time Adam Rishon was created. But before Adam Rishon, it's supposed to be Mechusa. So that's one of the understandings of why the Gemara has that the Rosh Hashanah is a season of the year where we talk about things being Mechusa. Whatever happened before the Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the day that Adam Rishon was created, and was supposed to be Mechasa. All of the things, not supposed to delve into the things before Adam Rishon was created. So, the very first day Adam Rishon was created, by Tzava Shamalaki Malo Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the instructions. He gave him the Hayruah Shah, that was only until late in the afternoon, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and that they violated right away. Soon after they were created, they violated the very same day. They didn't have self-control. And they were given 6 out of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and they were told all of the Ikori Hemunah. So in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, we say the 3 middle brachas, Hamalchus, Zechariah, Shofar. Rashi seems to hold on the Gemara, and Rashi Al HaTorah seems to hold that reciting Malchus, Zechariah, Shofar is a din d'oraisa. The Ramban on Chumash and Parshas Samor picks up on the Rashi on Chumash. It's Rashi on the Gemara is even more so. But even Rashi on Chumash sounds like he holds Malchus, Zechariah, Shofar d'oraisa. So the Ramban asks, how can it be? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah says, if you live in a little village where there's no shofar and there's no machzor, so when it comes Rosh Hashanah, you will neither hear tkiyah shofar, no one has a shofar, nor will you hear Malchus Zechariah shofar, nobody knows it by heart. You have to know all the 10 psukim of Malchus Zechariah shofar, who knows that? And the brachas, how do you know the brachas by heart? So you only have enough money, you can't afford to go to a village, to the big city, to the big city where they have both a shofar and a machzor, to have both tkiyah shofar and malchus chayne shofars. You can either go to one city or the other. In one little village, there's a shofar and there's no machzor. In one village, there's a machzor and there's no shofar. So which village should you go to? So the Brisa says you should go to the village where they have the shofar. In fact, Gemara Pshita is not obvious. Shofar is a din d'oraisa, and malchus chayne shofar is davening is only with the rabbanon. So of course, if you have a toss-up, whether to hear tkiyah shofar or to daven malchus chayne shofar, you should do the tkiyah shofar. So pshita. And for the Gemara, now the chiddush is the following: in one community, there's a machzor and there's no shofar, so you know for sure you'll get malchus chayne shofar, and you won't get, you know where you're standing, you won't get the tkiyah shofar. In the other village, there's no machzor, and there may or may not be a shofar. There may or may not be a shofar. There may be that there's no shofar, and you'll be kerech mikan and kerech mikan. You'll have neither the shofar nor the malchus chayne shofar. So that's what the Braisa tells you, Chiddush. Since the shofar is the Braisa, it's better to go for the sofek shofar. It may or may not have a shofar, but for sure they don't have malchus. It's better to risk it, to go to the community where there may or may not be a shofar, and for sure there's no machzor, rather than to go to the other community where there is a machzor and there's no shofar, because a suffix of a deraisa of shofar is more important than the vadai of the malchus by the shofars. So that's what the Ramban on Chumash quotes that Gemara from the end of next to the last Amud Beis, or the last Amud Beis in the Masechta. Rosh Hashanah ends on Amud Aleph. So the Ramban says, how can Rashi write in such a way, implying that Malchus Zechariah Shofar is deraisa? It's befeirish against the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's only the Rabbanon. The Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over from the Sefer Yom Trua, there's a thin little Sefer that was written by one of the Sfarishi Gedolim from the 1500s. So he writes, he has one third of the Sefer is on Sukkah, it's called Kapas Tmar. People usually call the whole Sefer Kapas Tmar. And one third of the Sefer is on the last Perek and Yuma, that's called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. he wrote like Tysus. He wrote an Arichas, like an extra Tysus. And then one section of the Sefer is on in Yom Rosh Hashanah. So that part is called Yom Trua. So in the Sefer Yom Trua, he comes to defend Rashi. So he says, Rashi only said that Malchus or Neshef is their Eisev when it comes in conjunction with Tkiya Sefer. Because the idea of Tkiya Sefer on Rosh Hashanah is Tfila. It's supposed to enhance the davening. So if you have a Sefer, and you say Malchus and Neshefes, and you blow Sefer, at the conclusion of each one of those brachas, Malchus and Neshefes, so the Sefer enhances the Tfila that you say. But if you have one village only has a Malchus that doesn't have a Sefer, then the Malchus and Neshefes is only the Rabbana. It's only the Raisa when it comes in conjunction with the Sefer. So the day the Adam Rishon was created by Tzav Hashem al Kim HaLoyim, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the six mitzvahs, b'nei nerech, to have Rosh Hashanah, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And he educated him, he told him all of the Kari HaMunah. That's perhaps what we mean when we say the Medrash says, Hashem Ori B'Yishi, Ori B'Rosh Hashanah, B'Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim. So Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim, you understand that if you get a Mechilas HaOvayim, that's a Yeshua. But why is Rosh Hashanah called Ori? In what way is Rosh Hashanah Ori? So I think the Pshat means that the day Adam Rishon was created, he was educated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we usually speak about this world. The Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia comments on the Pasuk in Baruchi Nafshi, Tos Eshcheshech Lihi Loi Lebosir Mos Kal Chai Sayor. When it gets dark outside, so all the wild animals in the jungle start coming out and roaming around. What is that a description of? So the Gemara says, Zeho Elam Azeh. Olam Hazeh is compared to Laila. A lot of times, you don't know whether you're coming or going. You don't know whether you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing an avera. People are not sure. So many things are unclear. And the only way to have clarity is V'chayre Neinu V'sarasecha. Olam Hazeh is Domel Laila Choshech. But if you learn Torah, then you get a Ha'orah. The Medrash has a comment. The Gemara has a comment on the Psuk in Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. If a person does a mitzvah, it gives a little illumination, like a candle, Kiner Mitzvah. But Torah Or, if a person learns Torah, that gives more illumination than a little candle. That's like a torch. Kiner Mitzvah illuminates like a candle. The Torah illuminates like a torch. So that's what it says in the Gemara. So then the Medrash, the Yalkut Shemani on Tehillim, is bothered with Akasha, that in this pasuk says Torah or learning Torah is like a torch, but there's another pasuk that says Ner l'ragli divarecha v'or l'nisivasi, that divarecha, when you learn Torah, it's like a ner, it's like a candle. So which is it? Is learning Torah like a candle? Is learning Torah like a torch? How much does it illuminate? The Gemara said on the other pasuk, Ner mitzvah v'torah, performing mitzvahs gives a little illumination. It doesn't last so long. A candle lasts a couple of hours and that's it. It only illuminates in the area near the candle. As opposed to Torah, or Torah is like a torch, it lasts longer, and then it illuminates a broader area. So which is it? Is learning Torah, is it like Ner l'ragli divarecha, is it like a candle, or is it like a torch? So the Medrash says, it depends how much Torah you learn. The first day a boy comes into the Beis Hamikdash, he already knows the Jewish position on disarmament, and birth control, and everything. So the Medrash says, when he comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he starts to learn, and then Limanat Torah is like a candle. But then the candle gives him illumination and he starts to learn a little more. Then he learns a little bit more. And then the Medrash has the expression, At kol hasha'arim niftochet. Every time he learns a little bit more, another shahr opens up and he becomes more illuminated. And after learning a lot, he accumulates all this knowledge, then learning Torah becomes like a torch. The illumination will be longer lasting, and it'll cover a broader area. So that's why we say, Hashem Oiri V'Yishu, Oiri B'Rosh Hashanah, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, when Adam Rishon was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him illumination. It's hard to figure out what's right, what's wrong, on your own. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, He educates you. So if you learn the Torah, then you'll have a higher, you have illumination. That's why we refer to Rosh Hashanah as Hashem Ori, Hashem Elum, Oli Kori Hamuna, and all of the mitzvahs that applied at that time, with the Hirashua not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So unlike the Rambam lists off 13 Ikori Hamuna, so Rabbi Yosef Alba, who followed the Rambam, writes in Sefer Ikarim that basically there are three Ikori Hamuna, and the three are Malchus, Zochan, and Shofas. The Rambam has, we believe in God, we believe in one God, God is invisible, it doesn't have a body, but basically we believe in God, that's Malchus. The Baal Shem is in full control of everything in the world. And Zichronus means that there's, they keep records in heaven of when you do mitzvahs, when you do averis. It means we believe in Mechira Chavshus, that's today's seven mitzvahim. V'chata v'chaim. The pasuk says, Reina satov v'nacha chaim v'amavis. V'toy v'ara v'chata v'chaim. People have Mechira Chavshus. So that's important. All of this was told to Adam Rishon. So, and there's, because there's Bechira Chavshus, so that's why man is held responsible for everything that he does. That's why there's Schar V'Yonesh. If there wouldn't be any Bechira Chavshus, if man would deserve Schar for doing a mitzvah, he wouldn't deserve to be punished for doing an Aveira. If you, most of the psychologists don't believe in Bechira Chavshus. Most of them believe that when a person is born, his mind is like a computer that's all set up with a chip, and all the decisions that he's going to make in his life are already there in the computer. What kind of a girl is going to marry? What kind of a job will he probably do? And what kind of a community will he probably live in? And what decisions he will make for the rest of his life? Everything is in his mind. So most of the psychologists don't believe in Bechira Chavshus. That's an Iker. We believe in Bechira Chavshus. So that's all included in the Iker of Zichronus. Zichronus is that man has Bechira Chavshus, and therefore man is responsible. He's held responsible. If he does averus, there'll be an einash. If he does mitzvahs, he deserves a reward. And there is a Yom HaDin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes and rewards and so on. That's a Zichronus. And Shofas, Shofas means we start Shofas Ateneglesa Balan Kvadach Alam Kachach Ledaber Imam. Kiyo Shofar in Tanakh usually represents the fact that there's going to be a Gila Shechina. We believe some of the Apikursish philosophers believe logically, based on logic, it's impossible to have any communication between man and God. How can it be, God is infinite, man is finite, how can there be any communication? So they don't believe that there's such a thing as prophecy. They don't believe that tefillah has any effect. God doesn't hear what you're talking about. And we believe, we believe in Shofas means the blowing of the Shofar indicates that there's a Gilui Shechina, that God can communicate with man. That's called Nevuah. And man can communicate with God. That's called Tefillah. And the Tefillah is the other side of the coin of Nevuah. Nevuah is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with man, and man can communicate with God by having the Tefillah. So this is the third Iker. Basically, Rabbi Yosef Alba took a few, all the 13 Ikrei Emunah of the Rambam, and he says some of them boil down together to constitute Malchias, a few others constitute Zichronus, and a few others constitute Shofar. So that's why we review these three Ikrei Emunah. Basically, they're three. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that each one of the three brachas in the Mitzvah Dikah Shmoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, each one of the three brachas has the same format. The opening paragraph, we make a statement of principle, what we believe in. We believe in Malchus. Aleinu l'shabeach, alkein l'kabelcha. We believe in Malchus. We believe in Zichronus. We believe in, so we state what the Iker and Emunah is. The second section in each one of the brachas of Malchus and Shofas, we demonstrate how we know that this is true. Who says that it's true? So the way, whenever the Gemara wants to prove a point, the Gemara says, Min olon, my timer, how do you know this din? The Gemara says, a pasuk. You have a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh that proves it. A lot of times the Gemara will say, Dov is a kasuk, batar v'shanim, avim, shudosh, paksuvim. So that's what we do. We quote a pasuk from Chumash, a pasuk from Nevi'im, and a pasuk from Ksuvim. Why did we have Ksuvim before Nevi'im? So there are different suggestions in the Rishonim. So the Ran says, because the psukim from Ksuvim that we're quoting are always from Tehillim, from David HaMelech, and David HaMelech chronologically preceded Yeshaya Yom Yecheskel and Treos. He was before all of those Nevi'im. So true, in the Tanakh, in the Seder of Tanakh, it's Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, Nevi'im should be second, but since we're only going to quote Ksuvim from David HaMelech, so chronologically, we say in order, we say, Dovah Zekas Batorah, Vishanri B'Ksuvim, U'mshulish B'Nevi'im. We go in the chronological order, and just in case we may be taking a pasuk out of context, so we thought we quote three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Tehillim, and three psukim from Navi. So, just in case we took a pasuk out of context, we quote three psukim. It cannot be that all of them were out of context. So basically, and then the concluding paragraph of each one of the three brachas is that we offer a tefillah. We say, in connection with Machal, can I say, Melachal Kalam Kula Bichoy Decha? The whole tachlis of the Bria was that it should lead to Yemos HaMashiach. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created Shmosh HaMashiach, one of the seven things before Bria Sa'ilam, because the whole purpose, the world as it stands now, is a waste. The Rabban Shalom created the world, a miracle, Yesh Me'ayin, in order to lead up to Yemos HaMashiach. So we offer the tefillah at the end, that they should come, then all of mankind will recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Bria will accomplish its purpose. And the same thing when we say Zichronos, so we give the Ikar and Amunah, then we say, how do we know that it's true? We quote the nine psukim, three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Ksuvim, from Tehillim, from Dovah, and three psukim from Nevi'im. We prove the point, and then we offer the tefillah. Can we have a seder? So chenim zikaron tavu lefanecha. We ask him based on that ikur and amuna. So today is the yom adin. So have rachmanus on us. So chenim zikaron tavu lefanecha. So ten kudos yishuv v'rachmim b'shmei shmekadim. And the shofar is also the same. We state that we believe there can be communication between God and man. There was nevuah, and there will be in the future. And we demonstrate that is true from Tanakh, shofar. And then we say the kenel seder. The psukim say lo se lo, but then we be agil shchina. There would be the same type of gil shchina there was on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. On the Hakadosh Baruch Hu will hein igalena achris kireshis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will do the gula hasidah the same way the gula was from Mitzrayim. There was a Maimon HaSinai, and there was a tremendous gil shchina on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. So there'll also be a Gila Shechina. So that's the tefillah that we say at the end of the shofar. So we really should ought to say nine psukim. Three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Nevi'im, and Shoyin Dovah Zarkas, Batar, Shoyin Vavim, Sholosh, Baksuvim. Case we're quoting a pasuk out of context, we quote three psukim. What do you need the tenth pasuk for? So Rashi pointed out the tenth pasuk is not really part of the second section of the bracha of the Malchus Mayim Shofar. The point was demonstrated. We demonstrated that the Ikar and Amunah is authentic based on the nine psukim. Sure, three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Nevi'im. The tenth pasuk belongs in the concluding paragraph. In fact, in Zichronos and in Shofar, it is in the concluding paragraph. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we say, and you promised us in the Chumash that you're going to do that. You promised us there's going to be a Gula Asida. So we ask you to fulfill the promise that you made to us in the Torah. Or you promised us that you're going to look after us. So keep your promise. The Rishonim explained that there's a reason why we recite the 10th Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Shema Kein Hashem Echad, why we recite it right after the first nine. We don't say it later. They say that they explain. Perhaps Soloveitchik used to say this over quite often. That the Gemara says all of the tefillahs and kiddush and abdallah and all the brachas were composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was a body of 120 chachamim, ubehem kama nevi'im. So Rab Chaim Balozhin writes in the Seif and Nefesh HaChaim, what's the significance of mentioning a Ben Kam and Nevi'im? Why do you have to mention that? So he says that the Tefillahs were combined. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. That was a long time ago. The Bayis Sheni was Chayav in the year 70. And how long did the Baal Sheni last? According to the Gemara, the Baal Sheni lasted 420 years. According to the history books, Baal Sheni lasted 165 years longer than 420 years. Rabbi Schwab has a whole essay. He thinks that the Chachamim knew that it was longer and they were hiding it on purpose. They didn't want to say the correct amount. People shouldn't be making cheshbonis when Mashiach is going to come. Whatever. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedola composed these tefillahs way over 2,000 years ago, and we still say the same tefillahs. Here and there we had to change the Nusach HaTefillah, because we say, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, please have Rachmanis on Yerushalayim. When they composed the tefillahs, Yerushalayim was B'binyonai, Beis HaMikdash was B'binyonai, so we had to touch it up a little bit, because some of the brachas don't correspond to reality, but most of them we leave the same way that they composed it. So in order to be able to compose tefillahs that should last over 2,000 years, Abchai Voloshin said it was necessary to have a Korach HaNevuah to be able to know what to say. Also, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Mekam Yed Lechev Tad Anshei Knesset HaGedola Osa Desapa B'Shvachu Shal Mokim. We shouldn't compose our own tefillahs. We shouldn't say our own shvachim, because we don't know what Mimal Gros Hashem Yashmir Kol Tehilos. Who has the right to compose a tefillah and a shevach? Yashmir Kol Tehilos, one who knows what he's talking about. Most people don't know what they're talking about. So the Gemara gives a marshal. The farmer has no hasoga of wealth, how wealthy the king is. So he'll say the king is so rich, he has $100 in his bank account. $100, the poor man has $100. The king has billions of dollars in his bank account. So whatever we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may be saying ridiculous things. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Ubehem Kamen Adim, they had the Korach HaNevuah, they knew what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And the Kamei Yelech, also the Sapa B'Shvach HaShem Mokom. After the Anshei Knesset HaGedola passed away, we don't compose any new tefillahs. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, not only is it necessary to have Behem Kama Nevi'im for that purpose, to know what Shevach to say, and to know what tefillah is appropriate, and it should last for over 2,000 years, but the Gemara says in Brochus, to know how many units you have in the Amidah, in the tefillah, also you have to have it based on Nevi'im. So on the weekdays, the Amidah has 18, used to have 18 Brochus, then they changed it to 19. So the Gemara says, this was based on Psukim, where you see in Tanakh, you have a right to compose a tefillah with 18 sections. Then when they added on the Velam Malshinim, so they had a mocker in Tanakh, you can have a tefillah with 19 sections. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out all the brachas and tzoyah. So just say the Gimel Lushan is Gimel Achronis. Then you say the brach of Kedushas Sayyam in the middle of the Shemana Esri. So you have 7 brachas, the first 3, the last 3, and 1 in the middle of the Kedushas Hayom. So the Gemara has a mokum in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 7 units. On Rosh Hashanah, the musaf tefillah should really have 10 brachas. The Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis. Then the bracha for Kedushas Hayom, that should be 7, like every Shabbos. Then another 3, Malchus and Shofar. The 7 and 3 is 10. But the Chachamim didn't find any mokum in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 10 units. They only found a mocker, we mentioned this in the davening and the piyutim. They only found a mocker from Tfilas Chana. You can offer a tefillah with 9 units. So we only have 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah, but we have to spell out 10 themes. You have to combine 2 of the themes together. So in the days of the Tanaim, there was a big machlekes, which of the 2 themes that we combine together. So we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We don't always follow Rabbi Akiva here. We follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We put together Malchias with the Kedushas Hayom. Both themes are one bracha, because you have no choice. You have to combine. You only have a right to make an Amidah with 9 brachas. No source in Tanakh that you have a right to make a tefillah with 10 brachas. So in the Hasima, in the final concluding bracha at the end of Malchias, say, Melech al kol haaretz, mekadosh yisrael v'yamazi kara. Melech al kol haaretz is because the theme of Malchias, Mekadosh Yisrael v'yamazi kara, is because of the theme of Kedushas Hayom. Every Yom Tov has a theme. Pesach is Zman Chavisenu, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchias, the day that Adam Rishon made a Kodesh Boch the Melech, a Melech Aloyam. As I Melech Shemoni Kroh, and every year we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to, we blow trumpets, we blow the shofar to proclaim, that's one of the kavanos, we proclaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. So that's why we combine those two brachas. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was of the opinion that rather than combining Malchias with Kedushas Hayayim, you should introduce Malchias and not the Kodesh with Shimcha Kodesh, because we conclude there HaMelech HaKodesh. You're going to mention Malchias in Atta Kodesh and Kedushas Hashem. You may as well say the whole Malchias there. And then the next bracha, the fourth bracha, is going to be only Kedushas Hayayim, like a regular Yom. Not going to have the theme of Malchias. Not going to end off Melech HaKodesh. It's just a bracha to Hashem. B'kadesh Yisrael B'yom HaZikaron, like you say on Yom. B'kadesh Yisrael B'hazmanim. Or in Rosh Chodesh, B'kadesh Yisrael B'Rosh Chodesh Shvim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion is that the Malchias is inserted in the bracha of Atta Kodesh. And the next bracha, the first of the three middle brachas, is going to be Kedushas Hayam, and then it's going to be Zechonis and Shavuot. So the Malchias and Shavuot are not next to each other. Malchias is going to be in the middle of the third bracha. Then you're going to have a Hafsak in between with Kedushas Hayam. Then you're going to have Zechonis and Shavuot. And then the Gemara says there was yet a third opinion, Rabbi Gamliel. Hardly anybody followed that opinion. The Yerushalmi says that there was a period of time that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion was popular in the Galil. That the whole Galil would daven like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to incorporate Malchias into the Baruch Abba the Kodesh. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the name of his uncle, Menachem Krakowski. He was married to the daughter of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So he has a sefer on the Rambam, Avodas HaMelech. And in the Sefer, he has the suggestion that we have a practice on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Some Rishonim and Rambam had it. Well, Aseres Meitshuva, they said. In the middle of Atta Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh, they would add the three paragraphs. V'chein tein pachtoch, v'chein tein kovet, v'chein tzadik miyuru v'yismachum. Where did that come from? Did you say v'chein tein pachtoch? So Rav Soloveitchik said from his uncle, and that's safe, and the safe is printed, it's available. He said that was probably the introduction to Malchias in the Galil, when they followed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and they said Malchias in Atta Kodesh. So the way to begin Malchias is V'chein tein pachtoch ha'shemakol ma'asecha, ma'aschol kamasha barasa. Now we no longer follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, so it's not really, it's a piyut, but it's not really part of Malchias. We're going to say Malchias later, in the middle of the fourth bracha, not in the middle of the third bracha. So the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to explain this, he was very fond of this, following explanation, that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you include Malchias in the bracha of Atta Kodesh, and you don't blow shofar. You don't blow shofar. Why don't you blow shofar? And then the Gemara, and then Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow shofar, how come you say 10 psukim? You should only say 9 psukim. What does the 9 or 10 psukim have to do with whether you're blowing shofar or not? So like a riddle. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that the 10th pasuk is not really for the purpose of proving the point. The first section of each one of the three brachas, Malchus Shofars, we make a declaration of what we believe in. What is the Ikar and Emunah we believe in Malchias? And then the second section, we say, how do we know it's true? That was a Kasbat Torah. Shalom Ravim, Shulash Paksum, he quote three, and three psukim. He proved the point. The 10th pasuk doesn't belong there. 10th pasuk really, in Zechonis Shofars, it is in the final paragraph. But because we combine together Malchias with Kedushas Hayayim, so the Malchias is so, in a certain sense, is a guest. The fourth brach is supposed to be Kedushas Hayayim. So we insert Malchias into the Kedushas Hayayim, because you can only have 9 brachs, can't have 10. So we don't want to, Malchias shouldn't take over. He's only a guest in the bracha of Kedushas Hayayim. So that's why we don't put the pasuk in the concluding paragraph. He said the pasuk say right after the 9, but it's not connected with the 9. The 9 psukim have to prove the point that what we said in the opening paragraph is an ikar and amunah. That's really true. We believe in Malchias. The 10th pasuk really belongs to the Bakasha, against the Lecha Kol Ha'olam Kula B'Chvei Decha, as you said in the Chumash, Ma'aseh Hashem Echad, the day will come that all Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, now God is only the king over the Jewish people, the day will come that he will be Hashem Echad. Even the other nations of the world will also accept the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since Malchus is a guest over here, so it's not right that he takes over. So that's why you don't recite the 10th pasuk in the middle of the concluding paragraph, because basically it's a bracha of Kedushas Hayayim, and you insert the theme of Malchus. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he's saying Malchus and Kedushas Hashem, Atakosh Hashem Chakadosh, so he probably didn't say the bakosh at the end at all, because usually we don't have any bakoshes in the Gimel Rishonis, in the Gimel Acharonis. It's not right to have bakoshes. Tosfos says, strictly speaking, that goes bakoshes of a yochid. Lecha kol ha'olam kula b'chvei decha, that's a bakosha for the whole world. So maybe, strictly speaking, that would be muta, but still, Father Rabbi Menuri says, you don't have the third section of Malchus, you don't say, if you're incorporating Malchus into Kedushas Hashem, not the Kodesh before Melech HaKodesh, you leave out the concluding paragraph. So you don't have any Bakoshas, so that's what he says, Ve'enu Tokeya. The whole idea of Tkiya is to elevate the level of the Tfilah, because the Gemara says in Bob Mitzti, in the end of Perek Hazov, Niyam Shulchar Beis HaMikdash, Nin Olu Sha'arei Tfilah. The Tfilahs are not accepted. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted with Zman Shabbos Beis HaMikdash Ha'idikan, because the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesi Beis Tfilah Yikari. Beis HaMikdash is the office where all the Tfilahs are supposed to be presented. And Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, offered the Tfilah that appears in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Devarayamim, it's like Shinuim. He said everyone in the world should face, if you live in Yerushalayim, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. If you live Chutz Yerushalayim, you should face Yerushalayim. If you live in Chutz Eretz Yisrael, you should face Eretz Yisrael. Bispalal Alecha, Derech Ha'ir Hazeh, Derech Ha'bayis Hazeh, Derech Artzom. Everyone has to face the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Tfilah. All the Tfilahs go there. So Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, the Tfilahs are not accepted the way they used to be. However, even though Shari Tfilah went Ninalu, Shari Demois Lai Ninalu. If the person davens with sincerity, and it leads them to tears because he's asking for a very serious matter, then those Tfilahs will be accepted even Mizman Hazeh, even Mizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. So the blowing of the Shofar in connection with the Brachas, Amachal and Shofars, the Shofars sound is supposed to sound like crying. Yom Truah and Metagamina Yom Yabava. The Gemara says in Tagamunkel. The Gemara quotes Tagamunkelis. And the pasuk Yom Truah says Yom Yabava, and Yabava means to cry, as it says Ein Tzish Shuvati Abeiv. She was sobbing. So if we blow shofar at the conclusion of Zichronos and Shofars, we're enhancing the basha that we said. We make it into a tefillah sheishim adimos. But since Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri holds that you insert Malchus and the bracha atakodesh shem chakodesh, that's in the Gimel Rishayna, so it's probably not right to have any bakoshes there. Strictly speaking, we do say, that's a bakosha, it's not shevach. So Tosfos says, since it's Tzorchei Rabim, you're allowed to. Like Sim Shalom is also a bakosha, but we don't add any more bakoshes. So the bakosha, okay, we say, apparently Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri leaves that out. He doesn't say that bakosha. So therefore he says, ain't it okay, you only blow shofar after Zichronos and Shofar. You don't blow Shofar after Malchus because he didn't say the concluding paragraph. That's why Rabbi Akiva Tainis, if you're not going to say the Bakosha, what do you need 10 psukim? All you need are 9 psukim. The 9 psukim are Davos HaKasp, Atav HaShonim Avim, Shulvus Baksuvim. You quote 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Tehillim, and 3 psukim from Nevi'im to prove that the point is correct. The 10th pasuk, Saras HaKasam Lemish, Ma'isar HaShem HaKan HaShem HaChad, that's to enhance the bakosha, but apparently you're not saying any bakosha there. That's by not enhancing it with the tkir shofar, so you don't enhance it with the 10th pasuk either, because in the Gimel Rishon you don't have any bakoshas. That's what observation you just say pshat. So on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out all the brachas and tzoyas, but you have to have some bakoshas tzorach. You have no bakoshas tzorach, you're not yotzi the chiyuv derais according to the Rambam. There's a mitzvah in our Torah to daven at least once a day, every day. And the essence of the davening is the bakosha sarochim. So on Shabbos Yantov, the concluding paragraph always has the Bakasha Sarachim. And in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, the concluding paragraph of the three Brachas Hamtzoyos. You have three Brachas Hamtzoyos. Machal Rehna Shavis, each one has Bakasha Sarachim. These are Ruchnias Dike Sarachim. So that's the two different traditions. It's Sarachim that have to do with the fact that Hayom HaRasoylam, that the first day Rosh Hashanah, is when all the Ikari Hamunim when his galat to Adam Arisha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Tzavash HaMalkim al Adam, he gave him the Sheish Mitzvahs, he gave him the Harosha, Natif, and the Etzadas. So that's why some are of the opinion, some Kubalim are of the opinion, that it's not proper to offer Bakoshes on Rosh Hashanah, about Parnasa, about Shiduchim, about Refuah. I think the common practice is that we don't follow that opinion. We assume Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, and Rosh Hashanah nifked Sora and Chana and Rochel because they were davening. Okay, so I think it's usually assumed that you do have personal bakoshes. We offer tefillas for the chaylim and for shiduchim for people and for panasa and everything. We offer all the tefillas. But the main tefillas that we should ask for on Rosh Hashanah should be the tefillas that have to do with the purpose of the creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world in the Sheshes Mei Bereishis. Rosh Hashanah, Hayom HaRasoylam, is the day on which Adam HaRishon was created. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu became the Melech. So we offer the tefillas for the Beis HaMikdash and for Mashiach. These are the things that the whole world was created for that purpose. That's why those seven things were created. We should all daven well on Rosh Hashanah. We have a lot to daven for Klal Yisrael and for the each and every individual person, and the common practice is that we do daven for each other, for Chaylem and for Shiduchim and for Parnosa and everything. Should all be healthy and daven well on Rosh Hashanah for each other. Hagut Yor, everyone. Sivach Sima Tov. Hagut Yor. Sivach Sima Tov.
Thank you. Sivach Sima Tov.
Thank you.
Amen.
Nancy called just now. She wants to speak to you. Here. Wow. That phone didn't start ringing on that ship. Unbelievable. You figured it would have another way of figuring that out.